Next Step 635, August 6, 2020.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vodskin. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vodskin's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Now, this is an episode I've been preparing for several days now, in my thoughts, in my dreams, actually, and thinking about how to present it. And I was ready to go. I've got notes here. And I'm sitting in front of this microphone, kind of at a loss for words. Overwhelmed with the subject matter. I'm calling it old film. And so I'm being candid with you. I'm having a hard time looking at this old film. Today happens to be exactly 75 years to the date that the first atomic bomb on a human population was dropped. Exactly to the date. We dropped the bomb on Hiroshima to end World War II. Actually, there was one to follow a couple days later. August 6th was the first, August 9th, and then after that, I think a few days later, Japan surrendered and came an end to World War II. So that's the justification, right? We dropped the bomb. 74,000 people were killed instantly. Annihilated, charred, burnt. They were dust. When you read the accounts of this annihilation, you don't know what to do. It's beyond what you can even fathom. You know, body parts coming out of people. Insides coming out and burnt. I can't even think about it. I mean, you don't know what to, you can't cry. It's beyond crying. You know, there's just this total emptiness. It's the vomit feeling. Albert Camus, yes, the nausea. What do you do? How do you process this as a human being? 74,000 people instantly killed. A few days later, the second bomb on Nagasaki. Another 40, 50,000 people killed. Between the two, there was 140,000 is the estimate. And we justify it, you know, it brought an end to the war. And exactly 75 years later, give or take a couple days, right? We have an explosion in Beirut, killing not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of people, 130, 140 is the count right now. And 4,000 to 5,000 people in the hospitals, already overcrowded because of the coronavirus, already overcrowded because of the horrible situation over there with the oligarchs, with the corruption, because of the horrible situation there with the economy. And there's just, people don't know what to do. It's already crumbling. The entire country is crumbling. And here we are talking about there is material for bombs just sitting there. And you know what's interesting is 75 years later, this morning, I heard this survivor of Hiroshima, and she has campaigned all of her life, she's 81 years old, against atomic bombs. And when we sit here and we campaign against bombs in general, about killing, where is the audience? What was Christ talking about when he came and he said, peace? Peace I leave you. At what point didn't we get the story when he said that you can't kill, you can't repay evil with more evil? And yet we have created means of complete, total annihilation, destruction. I'm calling it old film, and I'll tell you why. But before doing that, I want you to listen to Harry Truman, the president who ordered the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima, bringing an end to the war within a few days, within a week. The president who took over after Franklin Delano Roosevelt died, FDR. And he now addresses the American people and explains that we just dropped a bomb.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid manyfold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development. It is an atomic bomb. It is a harnessing of the basic power of the universe. The force from which the sun draws its power has been loosed against those who brought war to the Far East.
President Harry Truman, 1945, making an announcement to the American people that the first atomic bomb had been dropped exactly 75 years ago today as we're recording this. And I'll put the entire, there'll be a link on today's show notes. I'll put these entire, it's like 3 or 4 minutes that he speaks. When you listen to it, you'll understand what the country was going through and the language of war, the language of might. And here we are 75 years later, we're talking about another destruction in Beirut. And this time they're calling it accident. I know it was only 2 days ago and you never know what turns up, but they're calling it an accident. But what is this accident? Well, the material for that explosive was left there. Imagine the material. And instantly you had, in Hiroshima, I think it was something like 250,000 people, a quarter of a million people were affected by it. That's on, you know, the 75,000 that died, but also, like I mentioned, all the people that were affected. What do you do with these people? I mean, look at Lebanon. They're overloaded with 4,000 people. And these are all just casualties of war. And you say, well, there was no war in Lebanon. Yes, there was, because these materials have been put there. These materials have one purpose. It's the destructive power of them. I know you can talk about fertilizer. It's the same component and everything, but they weren't put there for fertilizer. These are materials with which you build weapons. But we don't want to talk about those things, do we? Because we're all doing it. If it wasn't Beirut, it could have been anywhere else. Tragically, these things happen often enough, and we keep coming back to the same formulas. The same formulas, and we're no different as a church. The same formula. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. God give you patience. God give you strength. God bless you. Yes, we should be praying for them. But how about praying for ourselves that we get over this notion that somehow in that might we find the right? It's not right to destroy. It's not right to be destructive. It's not right to annihilate people. And I know there's all kinds of conducts of war. Yeah, I know that there's people who are now questioning about the bomb on Hiroshima. And that's what I want to, that's where all of this started from. That's where my anger started from. Because we have rules of war. And you can't drop bombs on innocent people. You shouldn't be dropping bombs on anybody. But I know, this is the way we resolve issues today. It's interesting because right around that same time is when the United Nations was formed, right? The idea that we should never go to war again, that as people who are sophisticated, living in the 20th century at the time, at the midpoint of the 20th century, we should be able to sit down and we should negotiate. I guess it didn't happen. That was one of my biggest revelations when I was studying genocide and I stumbled in that that museum in Rwanda. And you're seeing all the different things. And here I had one foot on the first genocide of the 20th century, and I had another foot in the last genocide of the 20th century, namely the Rwandan, Armenian and Rwandan. And you see, as you're standing there with one foot in each genocide, you stand there and you see this entire incredible history of the 20th century, one genocide after the other, and you realize there is no evolution. As a species, we haven't evolved. We're still solving our problems, just like the caveman, right? Who has the bigger club? Who has the bigger club? Can I club you? And once I do, I'm the winner. Yeah. There is no evolution. It's the same thing. You know, we as the church have gotten hung up. We're fighting the wrong fight. We're getting out there and we're saying, oh, Darwin was wrong. And, you know, there is creation. There's no such thing as evolution. People come up to me. What do you think about evolution? What do you want me to think about it? I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to tell you about the bone structures and everything. But I will tell you as a priest that evolution has stopped with the caveman. When it comes to solving our issues, we're still doing the same thing. And here we are, 75 years later, after we've dropped this bomb on human beings, this most massive bomb. And we had a chance to see that bomb, actually, a model of that bomb. A few years ago, we were in Ohio for a wedding, and we ended up at the Dayton, Ohio Museum. If you're ever out that way, it is a must-see. It's the Museum of Flight, you know, by the United States Air Force. The National Museum of Flight, the United States Air Force, all kinds of planes. And there it was right in the middle of it, the Enola Gay. That was the name of the plane. And there next to it is the bomb. Is the model of the bomb. It's, and you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, this is what brought down the Japanese Empire. This is what ended World War II. And it's very sobering at that moment when you look at it. I think there was two of them. One of them was called the Little Boy. That was the bomb that fell on Hiroshima. And the other one is called Fat Man. And they resembled like a fat man, a little boy. Anyway, names they've given to these things. And they dropped them on these cities. Annihilated, charred, burnt, killed. And here we are, 75 years later in Beirut. And we're looking at these images. We're looking at these pictures. But we're consoled in saying that, okay, nobody dropped it this time. I can't separate those two. That's my problem. I can't separate it. To me, it's part of the same equation. And that's what I'm calling you into right now. I'm calling you into understanding that it's all part of the same equation where you have denied peace. And when we talk about denying God, I know, you go into the churches and they talk these beautiful lessons about taking Jesus said this and St. Paul meant this. And in the Old Testament, we read this. That's fine. At some moment, that faith has to translate into an action in your life today. That's the moment at which it's either a make or break proposition. Because when the church can't do that, when the preacher can't do that, when you can't make that connection, what do? You say, well, what do I need this faith for? What's the purpose of this faith if it has no application in my life today? It has to have an application. This is what we're seeing in the world. We're seeing that people are just talking about issues that take place without understanding that underneath all of them, There are spiritual issues. What do you think the Black Lives Matter was all about? Or is about, I should say. You mean there's no spiritual component to it? Just a couple nights ago, there was a fantastic little documentary. Is that what it's called? A memorial to Congressman Lewis. Last week, we dedicated our show to Congressman, the late Congressman. And just Tuesday night, I believe it was CBS had done it. We'll see. We'll make a note here if we can get it up on our show notes. It was really good. It was an hour-long tribute. And you know what? For what he did, this young congressman at age 23 who stood by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and filled his life with political discourse, with political action for everything he did, it came down to a very real faith. A faith in Jesus Christ. And understanding that that Christ is, as his Redeemer, is giving him that power to rebel, is giving him the energy, is giving him the means or the vocabulary with which he can now do his job. And what does it take for us to understand that this is what it's about? This is what religion, this is what Christianity is all about. It's not a pie in the sky idea. It's about the right now, the here and now. It's living your best life for the here and now, right now. A life to come, what's going to happen for eternity is none of your business. If you can live the best right now, leave the rest to God. Let God be God and you be human. And reach out. Share that life. Share the goodness that God has given you. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen to me. I mean, you know, I sit through Bible studies sometimes. I sit through other people's lectures. The amount of time and resources we spend on something to come that we have absolutely no control of is remarkable. I know you're going to say, we have control over it. We have to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Yes, but that is not, those are words. Those are realities where you take that Lord and Savior and you say, what did he talk about? He spoke about peace. He spoke about love. And if I'm going to accept, I need to accept that message as part of my life. I need to pattern my life after what the Lord taught us. It's amazing. Why is this so difficult for us to understand? Why do we keep building bigger and better bombs? That's why today I told you I'm calling this old film. About a month ago, we were in the pandemic, and I'm sitting around at the house and taking pictures of my grandson and getting excited that, you know, I'm enjoying a model. I haven't done this since my kids were little kids, little babies. I remembered I had this beautiful camera. It was called an Olympus OM-1, and it had a very fast lens. It was a 1.4 lens. My dad got it for me just before I left for Armenia in 1977. And it was like a gift, graduation gift. And I was going to go now to seminary. And I took this beautiful camera with me to Armenia. And since then, I have just used it. I've loved it. It's just such a delight. Well, when the digital age came, like so many of us, I too took that camera and we put it aside. Somewhere along the way, one of my sons found it and said, can I explore it and everything? Anyway, long story short, I find a roll of film the other day, about a month ago. Find this roll of film. There's no date on film, but you know, if you found a roll of film in your house, it means it's pretty old. Anyway, I said, I wonder if I could shoot that again. So I called my son, where's the camera? He brought it over and we shot it. It was a what today is called ISO, we used to call ASA. It was the speed of the film. It was a 400 rated film. And I put it into this camera. It was an SLR, and I had a field day taking pictures. took pictures, and then I took it to my local Walgreens, because this is the place where you take film. There's not too many places that do it anymore. I called up and I found Walgreens did it. So there, masked up, I go in there and I take it. And a week later, it comes back to me all grainy, all discolored. It has like purple on there. It has greens and everything. But you could still make out the figures and everything. In fact, if you look at today's cover picture of that sunflower, I shot that with that film. And it happened to be the only picture that was worth looking at. Everything else was pretty shot. You know, anyway, it got me to think. And that's what I'm going to share with you during the second portion. So with that, let's take a little break right now. Kind of gave you a lot to think about. This anniversary of the atomic bomb. Beirut, what's happening in Beirut, the massive destruction, and calling this old film. How are we going to bring this all together? And don't worry, I'm not going to play Paul Simon's Kodachrome. Although for me, that's probably a little bit better than what we're going to listen to. But no, I picked out this song. It's called Peace Corps in Armenia. They were celebrating their 25th anniversary back in 2017. And here is a song by, Nick Egibian. And it is called One World. It's sung in Armenian and in English. And it celebrates the idea of peace. If you want it, you need to do something about it, right? And that's what the Peace Corps, this is an old program that was started by then President John Kennedy. And it's like an alternative to war. And that's what we're talking about today.
I'll show you the world and how beautiful it is. Together we're able.
Okay, there you have it. I know. You're thinking like, how did you play that? Well, no, I did, because the thought is there, okay? This is called Peace Corps Armenia, One World, performed by Nick Agibian. And actually, I'm going to steer you to the video that's on YouTube. It's really worth watching. Beautifully done. A lot of animation, a lot of different images that bring out that whole idea of holding each other's hands, of supporting one another and sharing with one another. Nick Agibian, Peace Corps Armenia. This is like a dream to have peace instead of war. And why not? If we have corps that go out there and we have the Marine Corps that go out there, why not have a Peace Corps? That's what it was all about. And that's what it should be about.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. But what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's how I ended my show yesterday, my news show, the 168. And as I was saying it, as I was talking on the camera, I'm thinking to myself, wow, does this audience even know? And we're going back to the mid-60s, what the world needs. I believe it's Burt Bacharach who wrote that. And no, Hal David, and music composed by Burt Bacharach, Hal David. And I, on the show, I just said, as the lyricist says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And how true is that? It's so true right now. When you think about all the things that are going on, and then you realize that this song was written back in the 60s, when the world needed love back then, and you start realizing that, yeah, that evolutionary process, which I spoke about earlier, about not evolving in terms of the negativity, well, that's now being reflected in our calls for peace. Just like right now, we talked about Armenia Peace Corps. We heard a song. Did you even know that the Peace Corps was out there? No, but you know that in Armenia, they have troubles with the Azeris. You know that in Armenia, the Turks are on the other side. But why aren't we talking the language of peace? Why aren't we promoting these things? If I didn't play for that for you, would you have ever known that there was a Peace Corps in Armenia? I happen to know because several years ago when I was the priest out in Cupertino, a young man, his name was Dan Hastings. He came to me one day, this American young man, and he says, I'm going to Armenia. In Cupertino, he's saying, I'm going to Armenia. I'm going, what? I mean, Armenians don't go to Armenia. This is like right after the fall of the Soviet Union. Really, really rough times over there. And he says, no, I'm going with the Peace Corps. And I got a chance to learn about the Peace Corps and his work in Armenia. I would say, let's see, well, if this song is 25th anniversary, 2017. Yeah, this was, I'd say, mid-90s. That I met him, Dan Hastings. And I remember getting my first Christmas card from him, from Armenia. And we celebrated as a community. We celebrated him, had him come and share his story. But if we didn't, who would know about it? That's the point. It's a matter of talking about peace. It's a matter about sharing about peace. And if we as the church, as Christians, are not doing that, what do you expect? Do you expect the politicians going to talk to you about peace when it's more profitable to go out there and kill? Yes, you know it is. It's more profitable. Look, I told you I'm going to explain old film. And this is what it comes down to. I stumbled across this Time magazine from the beginning of the year. It had this two pages, page 14 and 15, about all the events that are going to take place this year. This is now pre-COVID, BC, before COVID hit us. So we had no knowledge of what was going to happen. And you look at it and you look at each of the months and each of the dates and you go, wow, all these things, all these expectations we had at the beginning of the year. Well, the only one that I got to tell you, you look at this, July 24th, the games were on. At the beginning of this year, we were going to be watching the Olympics in July. It says the Olympics will kick off in Tokyo with some new additions. Events debuting in the 2020 games include karate and skateboarding. Wow, cool. Didn't happen. But the one that did happen, I'm just noticing, actually, interesting that we talked about this. It says August 6th, today, atomic anniversary. The atomic age began 75 years ago when the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and followed it 3 days later with a second nuclear bombing in Nagasaki. An estimated 200,000 people were killed by the two blasts, which came shortly before Japan's formal surrender in World War II. Okay, so even over there, the numbers are different from what I quoted. We're still talking about horrendous, horrendous number of people, right? But you're looking at this calendar and you're saying, wow, life didn't turn out this way. Well, think about that film that I found. I found this old film and I shot it. And on there were images, but they're faded out. This is what we're doing. We're taking our old film, we're taking our old scenarios, our old metaphors, and we're trying to adapt them to the circumstances today instead of celebrating the circumstances that we have today. Case in point, the film itself, right? How are we shooting pictures? We're shooting them in digital media, and they're beautiful. If you have an iPhone, if you have one of the iPhones that came out just over the last couple of years, the camera in there is superior to many of the professional cameras that were out on the market just a few years ago. And talk about the digital cameras that are out there. I remember a few years back when we were just dealing with the little pocket-sized digitals. Oh, you know which one I was envious of? Susie used to use this little Canon. I go, oh, the pictures were remarkable. You celebrate it, right? And as I'm looking at this old film developed, and I'm thinking to myself, look at those images. Can you imagine if I wasted my time on something that mattered and then ended up with pictures that I couldn't use, I couldn't enjoy? What would be the sense of that? I've taken the old film and I've developed it, but I can't get new images on there. So too in our lives, we take old metaphors, we take old stories, and we try to adapt them to today, not realizing that the old stories were there. But today's stories are new stories. But the punchline, the developing, the picture of looking at it, that stays the same. For instance, okay, I came across this. This is what happens when you live in pandemic. You do a lot of cleaning up. I found this newspaper. It has the picture of Catholicos Karekin I of blessed memory. He was the Catholicos from 1995 to 1999. He was before that the Catholicos of the House of Cilicia. And there was a lot of hope that he would come and unify the church. Of course, that was a hope that was like an old film. Today you're looking at it and you're saying, well, nothing really happened. And I started reading this. I started reading his stories. He says, for 70 years, the church in Armenia was an passive institution. Now it is time to make it active. We must have new clergy who understand their roles as apostles to inspire and motivate the people, not just preserve forms of worship. He continued, Holy Etchiamiadzin is the new active center of the Armenian Church. According to community, life in the Armenia must be reshaped and reconstituted. Christianity must not be considered as merely an abstract philosophy. It should be lived as part and parcel of our lives. Wow, 25 years ago. He's saying this on his trip to America. Basically, you could have that old film. You could shoot new pictures on that old film. But when you develop it, it's not going to look good. It's going to be faded. It's going to be grainy. It's going to be different colors. It's going to be what you expect from old film. Today, we have digital technology, right? You take a picture on a chip. It's a digital picture. It's ones and zeros, computerized in such a way that this beautiful image comes and we look at that image and we say, that's beautiful, right? Because why? You're using the new technology underneath it. The same way when it comes to our faith, many times what we try to do is we try to shoot new pictures on a technology that doesn't exist. I'm not talking about the idea. Look, in the metaphor that I'm using old film and I'm using digital technology today, right? But we're not talking about photography. Photography is still photography. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about our faith. I'm talking about the means of transferring that picture or transferring that faith. You got it? The old film is where we get hung up. We get excited about that old film and said, oh, there must be something good about that. Just like I did. Just like Father Voskin. He woke up one day and he said, you know, I missed that camera that I had. The only way that I could use that camera is to use the film. And guess what? I found an old film in my house. A canister of 35 millimeter film. I'm going to put it in there and I'm going to try it out. This is what happens so many times. Even for people who are searching. For people who are searching for faith. They come around and they look around and they say, hey, there's the Armenian Church. Wow. You know, I miss it from my childhood. I remember these songs. They speak to me. They come to me. And then you get in there and you say, wow, let me try. Let me adapt it to my life. And then all of a sudden you realize, whoa, this is not what I want. This is not the quality that I expected. Well, we can't prevent that from happening. You can do something about that. And that's to be proactive about it. It's to understand that we're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about the method. And when we talk about Armenian Church, don't exclude the here and now. Tragically, this is what we do. We look at the past and we ascribe to that past some kind of very special place of honor, thinking that if we live void of that past, we're in better condition. But we're not. We're not. We're denying the here and now. You're denying digital technology in getting a beautiful picture done, photography done, when you go and you take a 25-year-old canister of film and try to take a picture and have it developed. You're denying the newness and the goodness of what's available today. And when you look at the world and what we have in this world today, you've got to realize that we're not where we were, not only 25 years ago, not 10 years ago. We were talking about globalized societies. We were talking about, I remember at USC, at the University of Southern California, I was invited to give a speech about globalization and the Armenian Church, the year 2005. 2005, I was at the University of Southern California speaking, giving a lecture, Globalization and the Armenian Church. And we talked about how we globalize. Yes, okay, thank you. I'll make sure that there's a link on our show notes. There's, if not the video, then we have the written copy. We'll get it to you. Don't worry about it. It just reminded me of it, okay? But that was 15 years ago. We're at a different point right now. People don't want to talk about globalization. We're talking about nationalism. We're living in a different world. We're living in a new world. And so I can't use that old film. We're in a digital age. You can't take that old film. You can't put a new image on there. Look, another one. Again, one of those things as you're cleaning out, you're in your house. What do? I found a pamphlet. Check this out. Written in... I thought there was a date on it. I thought it was during the Cold War. 1948, yes. Okay. It's called 20,000 Clergymen for Armenia. A report on the deputation of the American Church Committee for Armenia to the U.S. Department of State. Wow! It's put out by the American Church Committee for Armenia, 144 East 24th Street, New York, New York. And I'll save you some time. I did look up that address. It's an apartment building right now in New York. So who knows what this was all about? All you do, you start reading it and you start seeing the signatures of this document include just about every clergyman you could imagine that was existing in New York at the time. So they had written about the Armenian church, about their concerns for communism, their concerns for Armenia. And you know, this is something that I learned from my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vache. He had a very healthy outlook on, you know, things about the church. And I'm very thankful for this too, because in many ways I find myself answering back the criticisms in this same way. And he would always say, because, you know, during the Cold War, serving as a priest, and especially within the Armenian community, there was factions, there still are, but there were, the schism was very intense, and people would look at you as being somehow connected to the Communist Party because your headquarters was in Etchmiadzin, and the split in the church did a really good number on this. They really, really did a good number. I remember even in the newspapers, that's something that didn't even have to do with people, the way they would talk about us. And you know, Archbishop Vache used to say that Etchmiadzin transcends politics, as does Armenia. You know, today Armenia is under communist dictatorship. At some point it may be under democracy. At another point it may be completely different, completely a different regime. But Armenia is still Armenia, just as Etchmiadzin is Etchmiadzin. And it brings down that idea that we're talking about today, right? Today it's digital technology for film. Yesterday it was film. Before that it was silver plates, silver nitrate plates. Before that it was a little bird inside of a box with a chisel in his hand. Oh no, that's Flintstones. But you get the idea. You get the idea. I mean, it's changing. But still you have photography. Still we have Christianity. But the means of delivery are changing. And we've got to be very careful when we start honoring something that is of the past. You honor it, but you don't live it. You don't live that past because that dishonors today. Let's say that again, okay? In honoring the past, you cannot dishonor today because today is just as valid. It's just equally as important as your past was. And I know we go through this all the time because we mistake small T tradition with capital T tradition. And I've heard all of the arguments, you know. This is not about language, by the way. That's one of the first. Oh, yeah, you're saying that we got to get. You know what? I've served in the Armenian church for over 40 years, 38 years as a priest. And I'm going to tell you something which I know many of you who are in the Armenian church will tell me exactly that I'm right on target. I've met many priests who had difficulty in constructing an English sentence, yet they were some of the greatest pastors that I have ever met, and they were very influential in my life growing up here in America. And in turn, I've met other priests who perhaps could read, write English fluently, even born here. And yet, you know what? Well, I'll just put a period in there because I'm not going to be critical of them. To each his own. They just didn't do anything for me, okay? Let's say it that way, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. Language, again, it's a means. Right now we have a deaf, mute young man. You've probably seen him in some of the videos that I've done. He signs to the deaf community we have in Burbank. During the Divine Liturgy, he signs to them. It's not about language, is it? You know why? Because I can't read sign language, and yet watching him, I know he's passing along this beautiful truth of love. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? I can't understand sign. He can't understand my language, and yet he's presenting it. He's presenting it to the people. I remember a few months ago I did a service, and he was signing during my sermon. I said, afterwards, I went up to him and, how did you do that? Well, it turns out that he reads lips too. Wow. On top of everything else. But what I'm getting at is these are all means. And what we do often is we forget that those means are exactly that. They're a way to get to an end. Today I started off talking about this opportunity today to talk about peace. Our means have to get us to that peace. We have this rich, beautiful Armenian church. Last Friday night, we got together, and I'm going to end it with this because I think this is important. When I say all you need is love, or what the world needs now is love, sweet love, these are not just words. This is a means by which we bring about the presence of God. And given the alternative, why not? Right? Look, last Friday night, I was excited about this. Young people, we formed under Bridging Generations between the ages of 20 and 40. We gathered at the St. Leon Armenian Cathedral. I wrote a small little prayer service asking for peace and harmony in the world. We got together with social distancing and with masks on. We celebrated this small little liturgy of prayers, of Bible readings, of hymns. All in all, I would say about 45 minutes. And we left there. We left there energized. And you know what? It was a call for peace. If nothing else, it was the acknowledgement that we are living in a new age that doesn't have to be defined by guns and bombs. And guess what? We are now saying it. We are now proclaiming it. Just like saying that I'm taking a digital picture today, I do not have to be defined by that old film and the techniques of developing that film. I am free of that. When you start talking about peace, you're saying, I do not have to be confined to that description, to that definition, to that conversation about war and hatred and building bombs. And so we come full circle. Yeah, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's it. Not more bombs. And for heaven's sakes, not more powerful bombs that can destroy your powerful bombs. Let's extend our hands to one another. And that's what Christ had always intended to do. When he first came to this earth and the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That was the commission. That was it. Now he is here, and therefore we will have peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what it was all about. The same Christ who at the Last Supper, he says, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you with my peace. Not as the world will give you, but a true peace, a lasting peace. Well, given all that, why would we ever opt for anything less let alone anything completely different. Susie, you're saving me today. Thank you for coming in. I get very emotional with this stuff. Thank you, Susie. Please, it's all yours.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you for all of your love, your offerings, your support for this ministry. You know, I was saying a few minutes ago, just getting young people together and talking about peace and sharing. You know, these are the images that we've always wanted. This is what really surprises me many times, because people are so quick to criticize what the Armenian Church cannot do. And when the Armenian Church does do it, we're not there to be supportive. That's why it always means so much to me when I hear from you. And I get your prayers. I feel your prayers, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much for being a part of this ministry. Hey, listen, we're on all the socials. You can reach out to us. There's a lot of things going on. And of course, our immediate work is with the people in Beirut. We have just issued a statement by our primate. I will put a link on today's show notes. If you can, if you're moved to donate and make a donation for Beirut, this is the time to do it. I mean, it's so incredible. You're talking about a country that's on basically financial ruin, disaster, catastrophe. People cannot help themselves. They can't, you can't just go out. You can't go get money. There is no such thing as bank. All of a sudden, 250,000 people were left homeless. I mean, what do? We talk about in our towns, we have homelessness. Imagine 250,000 people becoming homeless immediately when that bomb, when the explosion hit the other day. So here's an opportunity to express your love and your support. I'll put a link on today's show notes. Please know that every cent that you give, it will go to Lebanon Aid. I will read from what it says over here. It says, online donations can be made through this website that I'll put there. Alternatively, you can make a check indicating Lebanon Aid in the memo. Okay, Lebanon Aid, Beirut Aid. It'll go the same place. 100% of your money will be delivered out there to help the people. So please join in the effort if you haven't already. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the wonderful crew that's putting these things together, our engineer, Ken Nalik, and of course, Susie Shat-Arevian, our producer. This is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when you will take, and I will take, the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off power. On top, there's it.